because they accepted awards. Haven't served in government hardly 3 weeks, got datoship already. All right? See, this is datoship glory without actual any substance given by mankind. All right? That's our idea of glory. So that means the king actually makes them glorious, you know. The king give you the award. Actually, you got no mole you one, but I give you the award, yao liu lah. All right? Now, we could think of glory that way, you know. It means God mold you, right? We worship him, make him yao liu lah. Correct. But that's not the idea of God. It's like a man who loves the woman and he says all sorts of things, mostly lies. So to make her feel good, right? All right? And she feels, oh, I'm so fantastic, you know, I'm so beautiful, I'm so wonderful, and all that. Now, sometimes when we think about it, wow, God wants us to glorify him, aninkwan, isn't it? What kind of God is this? He must so, like this girl, you know, so needy, he has to tell all sorts of lies, you know. So therefore, misunderstanding glory is basically we magnify God. We actually got very small, we actually make him very big, which is actually a very wrong idea of God. When I was young, I remember Queen Elizabeth came to Malaysia one day.
Yes.
And you were there?
No.
No, you weren't there.
I knew.
You knew. You're my generation, right? All right, anyways. About the same. So all of us kids were asked to line up on the federal highway. Right? And they gave each of us a flag. And we waited there for bloody hours. And then she came and zoom. And then we were, you know, to wave the flag. And how did you feel? I felt so used. Because I was a prop for her glory, ma. Isn't it? All of us stand there. We didn't know any better. No lollipops, no ice cream. This stingy queen, no richest woman in the world, and all of us had to do that. And sometimes we feel that, is that the idea of me giving glory to God? I had to give my life up for him. I had to give up a job for him. I do all that. And sometimes, because our wrong understanding of what glory is. Now, the better understanding of glory is what? Oh, next slide. How? Jam again. Every time it's the same thing. The next one, you got to see the picture. Now, if you were lining up there, I asked somebody, young person, Susanna, lining up there, would you say, oh, bloody hell, I got to go wait for Justin Bieber? She doesn't like music. But if you were a Justin Bieber fan, how many hours or so you were lined up, isn't it? Yeah. And then when he come, would you feel used? No, you won't feel used. You will be so happy because you got to be part of Justin. You get to bask in his glory, you know. Maybe when he sing a song, you become part of that song, as it were. I remember who, maybe your generation a bit more, what's his name? Mariah Carey. She came and there was a huge storm and no matter what happened, everybody still went to the concert. And in fact, I was shown this picture before of two girls from Perth flew in and spent 10,000 ringgit to attend the concert, you know, because she loves Mariah Carey. And they brought burnt offering too. They got one the koala bear and one dolphin because they know that Beyonce, Mariah Carey loves dolphin. So you bring one, you know. Now, you think that they stood there like me at the side of the road and said, bloody hell, you know, I'm waving this flag. No, they enjoyed themselves, right? That's what giving glory to God is like. There are two analogies, me with a flag and Mariah Carey coming in, you know. There's a difference in the glory. Making him our glory is magnifying him. You don't go to the Grand Canyon, you either look and see the beauty and enjoy the beauty, or you stand there and look at yourself like a house of mirrors. If you look at a house of mirrors, fear will come into your lives. If you make God your glory, you will then be transported out of your own fear, as it were. It's Isaiah 60. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the Lord your God will be your glory. Your sun will go down no more, nor moon will draw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. You see, if God is your glory, what happens to your days of mourning? no more. Because perfect love casts out fear. When you stand like Johnny at the edge of the Grand Canyon, you only see beauty. And the beauty casts out all fear, all anxiety, and you're transported to great joy. That's what the Bible is saying, that it will handle your fear. Emotions of worship. Look at the first persecution happened in Acts chapter 4. The leaders, Peter and I don't know who else, was taken, and they were beaten, they were persecuted, and then they came back. And you know what the church did? This is what the church did. And they heard about it, they lifted their voice. You know, when they come together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and earth and the sea and everything in it, who through the mouth of David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage, the people plot in vain, and the kings of earth set themselves up, and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed? Which psalm does this come from? Psalm 2. Now, if they were persecuted, right, put in jail, right, when they come back, the first thing we would do is consult our lawyers and worry, hey, better block the doors, better find how way to escape all these people. They didn't do that. How do they treat their fear? They didn't focus on the threat. They focus on what? On the glory of God. They say, God, why did the Gentiles rage, people plot? Why? Because the kings themselves set themselves against God and His anointed. You see what I mean? So they don't focus on the threat. They focus on the glory of God. And then for in this city was gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. They interpreted the persecution in the light of the theology. But Psalm 2 says, the Gentile kings rage against God's anointed, and God's anointed laughs at them. So they take the theology and they apply it to their normal life. You see? And then the result is boldness. The Holy Spirit, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to speak the word of God with boldness. So their boldness came from making God their glory. You can't escape this. Unless God is your glory, you will continue to fear. Last point before we end is rely on the lifter. First of all, God is your shield. Second of all, God will be your glory. Unless He is your glory, you will continue to fear. Lastly, He's the lifter of your head. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. How is He a lifter of my head? I cried out aloud, and He answered me from His holy hill. Where is His holy hill? Gasing. Is the holy hill Gasing? No, where is His holy hill? There's only one holy hill. Where? Mount what? Zion, which is metaphorical for the temple. Somehow, if you look to, He answered me from the temple, He's the lifter of my head. That means He lifts me up when I cry Him from His head. Why is He a reference to a temple? What happens in a temple? What do you do when you go to the temple? You offer what? Sacrifices. God accepts your sacrifices. God accepts your worship, isn't it? So something is going on, right? So you get God's approval. How does David know that God lifts his head? I mean, David is not a nice person, no. He go and murder Uriah. He wall up the wife. His whole family is a disaster. Would you dare lift your head? I wouldn't dare lift my head if I come to God. But you see, he doesn't lift his head. God lifts his head. How does God lift his head? By answering from the temple. All right? Somehow for him. But for us, how does God answer us from the temple? All right? Let's go back to Genesis 15:1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. Okay? And then Abraham said later on, oh Lord, how am I going to be guaranteed like I get the reward, right? How do I know? How am I going to be right with you? You know, how do I get all the promises? And you know what happened, Genesis 15? We studied this in Genesis 15. How many of you studied Genesis? Yes! 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 on here. Okay, we are going to do Genesis again. All right, Johnny, so end of chapter 15, how does God answer his question? He says, he tells Abraham, don't worry, I'm your shield, I'm your great reward, you're going to benefit, you're going to have all the inheritance, all that. And Abraham says, hey, how do I know for sure? How must I have guarantee, isn't it? How are you going to tell me? What did God do? Anybody know? Show him the stars. No. Yes, yes. Yeah, but there's still a promise. But he wanted to know, how, guarantee. I want to know for sure, how. Huh? Walk through the blood? So what he did was he did a promise, which is a covenant. So what they do is they cut the animals. Okay? There was pigeon, there was goat, whatever. They cut the animals into two halves. One here and one here. One row. Make promise. And then it's all blood, right? Then you walk through the blood. Two parties walk through the blood. Which means, if I make a covenant with you, Donnie, we both walk through the blood, lah. If you don't keep your end of promise, got chamle into two, you die. If I don't keep the promise, you chop me into two, die. Right? That's exactly how ancient people made promises. Now, on that day, who walked through the blood? Alone. A burning torch went through. Right? That's Genesis 15. Thousands of years later on, that was fulfilled. How? Anybody know? And Jesus Christ walked through the two broken halves. He paid in blood for our sin. So that's how God can lift your head. Lah. So there are three things that happened here. Okay? He is your shield. He is your glory. And he has paid for your sin. He's a lifter of your head. We don't magnify God to make him bigger. We actually look at the telescope. The most wondrous scientific element in the world is the Hubble telescope. If you look up in the sky today, a lot of areas you see just black. You put a Hubble telescope above the atmosphere, above the interference, above the clouds, the Hubble telescope would show you billions of light years away, all the beauty. Unencumbered, not covered at all. Jesus Christ is like that Hubble telescope. He'll magnify. What happens is that you can see God in all his splendor, and that's not only all, there's even more than that. So when we actually glorify God, we're like standing at the Grand Canyon, and the more and more that we see, you know. Imagine Johnny stood at the Grand Canyon, and we give him super glasses. You can see even more and more and more, right? And that's what you mean by glorifying God. So what do you mean by glorifying God? It means you're actually standing there and saying, wow. You're actually enjoying God. Now, that's a different kind of faith than the normal faith they teach you. No? The normal faith they teach you is that you better say your prayers. Say a quiet time, otherwise God punish you. Otherwise you lose salvation and you feel guilty all the time. If you're not started a relationship where you look into the pages of the gospel, look in the life of Jesus Christ like a Hubble telescope and see the beauty of God, that you get so excited that you keep on reading the Bible, you know, praying, encountering Him. If that's something that's not happening in your life, that means you don't have the glory. And then if you don't have the glory, fear will come in. And fear will chase away your joy. And you're wondering, you got fear, you got anxiety, you got all these other things. How are you going to cure it? You cure it by believing He's your shield. Change your center of glory from your family, from your children, from your job. Change the center of your glory to Christ. And rely on Him. Explore Him. Study the Word. And then you will see His glory. When you see His glory, it will take you out of all your fear. All right? So, we're going to explore today fear. Next week, we're going to do guilt. What's the difference between guilt and shame? All of us have some of that. How do we address it? We're going to pray our guilt. Psalm 130. So remember, 130 next week. Thank you.